11, verse 20. Last week we had Abraham, today we have Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph each have probably a dozen or so chapters that are devoted to them, and here Isaac probably has, he's mentioned in 4 or 5 chapters, but he probably got a total of 2.5 chapters devoted to him. Yet Isaac outlived them all. Abraham lived to be 175, Jacob 147, Joseph 110, and Isaac lived to be 180 years old. Though he's mentioned the least in the book of Genesis, he's mentioned, talked about a whole lot less than Abraham, Jacob, or Joseph, yet he outlived them all. He outlived his dad by 5 years. And so, we're going to talk about that man, Isaac, for a few moments this morning. About a half hour at least. And first of all, we need to know some things about Isaac. Isaac was a son of promise. In Genesis 17:19, God said, Sarah shall have a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Isn't that amazing? Thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. But here we have another one. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. He was named before he was born, a son of promise. And we're reading in the faith chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're reading by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, and so on. So here we have faith. Abraham is a son of promise. Isaac is a son of promise. Abraham believed that he would have that son. And we talked about that last week. He believed it so much that when God said, offer your son as a burnt offering on Mount Moriah, he was ready to put the knife through the heart of his son Isaac, knowing that God would raise him from the dead. And the Bible gives him credit for believing that God would raise Isaac from the dead so that the promise could be fulfilled. Well, God's promised you and I a lot of things, folks. He's promised us an eternity full of bliss and glory. You believe it?
Amen.
You're going to die? Still believe it? They died in faith. Amen. Paul said, I have kept the faith. So, Isaac was a son of promise. Isaac experienced his father's faith. Isaac knew something about faith. Here this young lad was taken up to the top of a mountain and the wood was laid in order Abraham laid his son there on that altar and he was ready to slay his son. Just think. Isaac knew what was going on. He had a vocabulary. He said, Dad, Father, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the lamb for an offering? My son, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And God did, the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Isaac. Amen. But Isaac experienced his father's faith. And you know, I got to thinking, how many of our children have experienced faith in us? Have I had the kind of faith? Have I had the kind of experiences in life where my children could look at me, or my grandchildren could look at me, or hopefully my great-grandchildren could look at me and say, well, Grandpa had faith. He really had faith. Don't you think Isaac could say, my dad had faith. My dad took me up on Mount Moriah. I could just hear him repeating that story about the faith of his dad. Father's Day is not 2 weeks away. But dads, can our children talk about our faith? Have they seen our faith in action? Have they experienced our faith? We've got to be somewhat aggressive. We have got to challenge the devil, as it were. And let our faith be known, seen by our children. Amen. I and the Lamb will go yonder and worship, but we will return. That was faith. And I want faith, and you want faith. Amen. And our children need to see our faith in action. Isaac, son of promise, experienced his father's faith. Isaac was a meditator. Did you read that in Genesis 24:63? Isaac was a meditator. When I read this verse, Hebrews 11:20, I had to go back in the Old Testament and read the account of Isaac, and it was so refreshing to read that again. I haven't read it for a little while. But His mother Sarah had died about 3 years before this, and now we find Isaac out in the field meditating. He's out in the field meditating. Like I said last week, Abraham didn't reveal everything to his son, didn't reveal everything he was about to do with Sarah. He just kind of didn't want to be distracted from his duty. And so we read here that Isaac went out in the field and meditated. He got away from it all. He got away from the noise and the hustle and bustle, all the questions and all the duties and responsibilities. He just went out in the field at eventide and he meditated. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Be a meditator. Now, I'm not talking about being a yogi or practicing yoga. No. But be a meditator. Amen. I think the Bible teaches that. The man who meditates in God's word, and David said it five times in Psalm 119, I think. But the man who meditates in God's word will be a blessed man. There is absolutely no question about it. Isaac was a peaceful man. You can read Genesis 26, when the Philistines, who envied Isaac's greatness, filled his wells with dirt. Isaac just pulled tent and went somewhere else. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? They take your coat, give your cloak also. He just dug some more wells. He had water for himself, his family, his cattle. And then here they come again and cover up his well. He just pulls up and goes somewhere else. And then he got somewhere else. I think it was Gerar. They said, this is our water. He said, okay, bye. Yeah. God blessed him. God blessed him for his attitude. A lot of us, we're living in a country today where responsibility is not the key word. Rights is the key word. I've got my rights. You can't do this to me. I will sue you. I will get a lawyer. And so on. It's not responsibility and giving. It's rights and taking and getting all you can, as though this is eternity here. Oh my, this water is ours. So, digged another well and they strove for that also. But finally they just got tired of following this Isaac around. They quit bothering him. I think there's a lesson for us there. Doesn't the Bible say when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him? Isaac had peace at last. His ways pleased the Lord. Oh, if we just had the faith to try that. Instead of trying to solve the problem, just please the Lord. Instead of trying to solve the problem, please the Lord. Instead of just trying to find a solution to the problem, please the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I'm not going to burden you down with stories that I've told a couple of times here, but you know how that God has won 3 of our neighbors because we wanted our ways to please the Lord. He made our enemies to be at peace with us. Another lesson that we can learn, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. See, Isaac, he didn't fear man. He didn't even fight, nothing. He just he trusted in the Lord. Went his way. You want that? The world's wide. That's the one. He trusted God for the blessing. How many of us trust God for the increase instead of man? If you're looking to the bank, if you're looking to the stock market, if you're looking to bonds and things like that, if you're looking for your investments to pay off, why don't you try the Word of God and see if that won't pay off? It really does. The Word of God pays off. Then you can live a holy, simple life. You're not in all the fracas and way out there. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another lesson we can learn is, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can win against us? I think a lot of people make the mistake of trying to please their neighbor instead of pleasing God first. Our top priority should be to please God. Put him first and he'll take care of the rest. And get on God's side. And then if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, Isaac was a peaceful man. He was a good man. We don't read of him getting in a lot of trouble, or wars, anything like that. He was a worshiper. You read Genesis 26, 25. He built an altar. You read that about so many of these Old Testament saints. They go somewhere, they stop, they camp, they build an altar. They never left that worship. Let's park here. And they build an altar and worship God. Praise the Lord. We need to remember to worship God in all of our decisions and everything that we do throughout our lives. Isaac married in the faith. Isaac married in the faith. Genesis 24, 26, 67 tells us. And we also read in Genesis 24 that Abraham was very concerned about the marriage of his son. And he told the eldest servant of his, he said, "Thou shalt," I can just hear Abraham. I'm going to just see him. "Thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. Thou shalt go unto my kindred. Keep this marriage in the family. Keep it in the church. Don't marry outside the church." What a lesson for us here. God warned us about marrying outside the church. I told you about God's mercy. Well, I'm going to lean on God's mercy. I'm going to go out. Then there's another verse too. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We've got to know our Bibles. We've got to be acquainted with the scriptures on both sides of the argument so that we can make a perfect decision and save ourselves a lot of trouble. "Thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites." Get out of there. Get out of that world. They don't believe in Jehovah God. "But thou shalt go unto my kindred where they believe in Jehovah God and find my son a wife." Abraham, Isaac. Now then, poor Isaac. He had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Listen to this. "And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah." Boy, if there's any young people here this morning, hear me. You just marry outside the church. You just marry somebody who doesn't know the Lord, who's not been born again. You wanna hurt your dad and mom? You must really hate them to do that, because you're going to bring a grief of mind to them. We're learning a lesson here from the scriptures, "which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah." Well, you don't have to marry within the Pentecostal Assembly Church. We don't have a vast choice here. But there's a whole organization of people out there, and there's a whole church of people out there. There's Christians all over the world. And we don't have to choose somebody in the world. We can choose somebody that's in the universal church somewhere. Amen. "Grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah." Young people, hurt your parents. Just go with some girl out in the world. If your parents are godly, it'll be a grief of mind to them. Amen. You know, my wife and I have found that when you get married, you don't just marry another person. You marry a family. You marry into a family. The Bible's pro-family. You think you're just going to go marry somebody and everything's okay. No, it doesn't work that way. Your children are going to have a grandfather, a paternal grandfather and grandmother, and a maternal grandfather and grandmother. Right? You're going to have it. And there's going to be this intermingling. And if you want to make Christian parents happy, Christian young people, just marry another Christian young person. And you save them a lot of grief of mind. Isaac prayed in faith. His wife Rebekah, and now we're going forward, I just on the subject of marriage there, but his wife Rebekah was barren, and Isaac prayed. Ray Nichols' wife was barren, I think. Ray Nichols prayed. They had a baby. Elizabeth Hope, remember? Wasn't Elizabeth first? Oh, okay, Nathan first, and then Elizabeth, okay. They had a baby, Nathan. Now he's getting to be a young man. And Brother Nichols is speaking this morning up at ABI. That's why he's not here. Okay, so his wife was barren, and Isaac prayed for Rebekah, and she conceived. And then God talked to her and said, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Ooh, we're going to get into that in a few minutes here. And now we have Hebrews 11:20. By faith Isaac had faith. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now we must read Genesis chapter 27. It takes about 7 minutes, I think, to read it, but we've got to read this, because this is a Bible study. This is not entertainment. Genesis chapter 27, 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. You have to remember now. You have to remember that Rebekah had already heard the Lord say, the elder shall serve the younger. So, she's going into action here. Obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the field and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which was with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids, the goats, upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy brother. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. See, the old patriarch Isaac had that power invested in him. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Do you think that maybe Jacob was listening for footsteps? Man, I hope I get this over with before Esau gets back. I bet his heart must have been palpitating. This is the pulpit. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone up from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, he just made it, see? And Esau his brother came in from his hunting, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. I picture a pause there. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me, that means replace me, these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? See, that's a lie. We pick on Jacob for lying. Esau lied. You get Esau's lie? He said he took away my birthright. He didn't take away his birthright. Esau sold his birthright. Profanely sold his birthright to Jacob. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. In other words, when you break his yoke from off your neck, you'll be free to roam and do your thing. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Did you ever notice that? I made a statement in this church a long time ago. I said, there's not one person here that's not capable of murder. Boy, I had some eyeballs look at me. I'll say it again. There's not one person here this morning that's not capable of murder. The Bible says he that hated his brother is a murderer. And here, Esau hated his brother, and then, and look what he says. Esau hated Jacob, and look what happened to the hate. Then will I slay my brother. I'll tell you, when you feel hate in your heart, watch it. Watch it. Get rid of it. Repent of it. Clean it out just as quickly as you can, because you're on the road to murder. Might be a long road, but you feed it, you harbor it, down the road. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. People find comfort in killing when they hate. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? I'll tell you, folks, there are parents who had so much trouble from their children marrying non-Christians out in the world that they just soon die. We have a record of one right here. If Jacob does this, I'd just soon be dead. What good shall my life do me? That's Genesis chapter 27. Verse 38, God does have more than one blessing, folks. He blessed them concerning things to come, and we read it right here in chapter 27, verses 26 through 40. You know, the Bible says that God pours out his blessings on the just and the unjust in the Sermon on the Mount. He causes his rain to fall on the just. And, yeah, he's got more than one blessing. So don't worry about that. Just thank God for his blessings. He blessed both his sons. And it took faith to bless his sons prophetically. By faith. It says so. It says so right there. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He told them about their futures there. He blessed them concerning things to come prophetically. As parents, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to warn our children against living in sin. We need to be faithful to that responsibility. As parents, we have a responsibility to encourage our children to have faith in God by seeing our faith in action, like Isaac did. As parents, we have a responsibility to provide a living example of obedient faith, like Abraham had. Now, in the natural world, parents impart life to children. In the spiritual world, parents can impart their faith to their children. Do we have proof of that? Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." I said to my wife, we don't read one word in the whole Bible where Timothy's dad had anything to do with him getting saved. No encouragement, no example. We don't read anything bad about Timothy's dad. He was just a Greek. We don't read anything good about it. He was a Greek. He was not a believer in Jehovah God, evidently. Because the faith, not of the father, the unbelieving father, but the faith of the mother and the grandmother were transmitted to Timothy. And Timothy had unfeigned faith. Praise the Lord. Folks, that's what we need to do. We need to pass our faith on to our children. Unfeigned faith. Never arguing, never disagreeing with the Word of God. Amen. I've been accused. I know why you're Pentecostal. First they'd ask me, what church did you go to when you were small? Were you Catholic? Were you Lutheran? Were you Jehovah's Witness? Mormon? What were you? I said, I was Pentecostal. Aha! I know why you're Pentecostal today. Because you were raised in Pentecostal. In Pentecost. I was accused of being Pentecostal because my parents raised me in the Pentecostal church. Has anybody else ever had that experience? Anybody? Yeah, one, two, three. Three of you have. That's quite an experience. You got to think, you know. And so I thought. And I said, I wear that indictment, like what President Reagan said, I wear that indictment as a badge of honor. Because to me, when you say that, I'm Pentecost because my folks brought me up in Pentecost, it means that my parents were successful. What's wrong with parents being successful? What's wrong? See, the world wants you to try everything. I've always said, when you're looking for something and you find it, you stop looking. And I found it. There's no use of me looking anywhere else for any more. I found what I'm looking for. Praise the Lord. So I said, I wear that indictment as a badge of honor because to me it means that my parents were successful in raising me and successful in protecting me from the ungodly influence of unbelief. Praise the Lord. That's the way I feel. Then finally, Isaac died in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but looking forward to them. And when I read that, Isaac died in faith and all these patriarchs, Old Testament saints died in faith, I said, that's the way I'm determined to die. I'm going to die in faith, if we ever die. Because when I read the news, I don't think I'm going to die. I think Jesus is coming. Don't you?
Yeah.
Wow, he's coming. He's coming soon. I've been thinking about it. I've been mulling it over my mind. You know, one day it's going to be a reality. We say, oh, I've heard that for 40 years. Well, it's 40 years closer than it was 40 years ago then. And it's going to happen one day. It's really going to happen. And I'm not just foolishly hoping for something. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm hearing the news. I'm aware of what's going on in the world. I know something about the power of the nations. I read about it in the scripture. I understand some things in Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21. I think I kind of know what's going on. And there has to be a balance of power of nations in the world. I mean, this is my belief. This is my doctrine. And I see America failing now. America, which was keeping that balance intact, is now starting to fall and fail. And we don't know what's going to happen during this administration. Anything can happen. You know it, and I know it. You feel something in the air, and I feel something in the air. How long can this go on? How long can America flout God? How long can America thumb God? How long can America spit in the face of God? How long until God says, that's enough? Fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah.
a flood upon the generation of Noah and fire on this final generation.
Total destruction. It's coming. It's coming. I'm speaking prophetically now because I'm speaking from the prophetic word of God.
Amen.
I said if we ever die. But if I die before Jesus comes, I'm determined to die in faith. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Didn't let go. I have kept the faith. Praise God. Right to the end. He fought the good fight of faith. Man. Isn't that the way you want to die? If you have to die before Jesus comes, die in faith. Okay, my final thoughts this morning. I thought, Isaac, you know, not a real interesting guy. It's going to be kind of a tough lesson to teach. Abraham was so exciting to teach, you know. I really enjoyed it. Now here's Isaac, you know. 2.5 chapters about Isaac and 12 chapters about Abraham and just a whole lot in the New Testament about Abraham. Wow, I thought, 2.5 chapters approximately on Isaac and a dozen on the others. And I read it over and I thought, he doesn't have any record of some immortal deed. No striking accomplishments of faith. Nothing really fantastic about this man, you know. We just got all those wonderful lessons from him. And I thought, how many of you have read about me in the St. Paul Pioneer Press? How many of you read a full page story? Me in the Chicago Tribune, if that's the name of the paper. Or in the Eau Claire Daily Telegram, my hometown. How many? How many of you have read my life story in the newspaper? No. Not even 2.5 chapters. Huh? Well, how many read about me in the Pentecostal Herald? I have no the illustrious record of marvelous achievements. I don't have that. And Isaac didn't seem to have a whole lot to talk about either. And I thought, well, I relate. But Isaac did hold fast the faith of his father. And I'll consider myself a gigantic success when I die in faith. If I'm looking at the guillotine and I say, hallelujah, I kept the faith. My dad believed, my mother believed, my brother believed, my sister believed, my pastor believed, and I believe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a way to die. Amen. And Isaac didn't just die saying it's all over. He died with a city in view. God says they all sought that city, remember? That's what it says. He cherished the promise of the city. And this hope, by faith, he passed on to his offspring. They all believed it, and the Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promise. They died in faith believing it. I may not have my story, my great achievements written anywhere, but dying in faith, I'm passing that faith on to my family. Praise the Lord. And I kept the faith of my forefathers. And perhaps many of us here have done no great thing, but by faith we're determined to transmit our hope to our children. And maybe you can say with me, I've accomplished nothing great in this world. I've accomplished nothing great in the church. But my ambition is to plant my faith in my children, in my grandchildren. Sometimes that can be discouraging. It can bring tears to your eyes. Poison asleep in a pile of tears. But you just got to go on and on and on and live it. And so I thought, may our lives, like Isaac's, close with a blessing. Some of you have read this. Some of you may have never heard it. Here's one whose family had a curse passed on. And here's one whose family had blessing passed on. Max Jukes was an atheist, and he married a girl who was an infidel. From this marriage came 540 descendants. Listen to what happened to them. 310 died as paupers. 140 were criminals. 7 were murderers. 100 were drunkards. Half of the females were prostitutes. Altogether, the family cost the state, and this is, I suppose, a couple hundred years ago, $2,500,000. Jonathan Edwards married a dear Christian girl, and from this marriage, not 540, but 1,394 descendants have been traced. 100 were preachers. 295 were college graduates. 65 were college professors. That's when colleges were decent, you know, God-fearing. 13 were college presidents. 60 were authors of good books. 60 were Army and Navy officers. 30 became judges. 3 became United States senators. 1 became Vice President of the United States. All of them together did not cost the government one single cent. Jonathan Edwards was born a little over 290 years ago, October 5th, 1703. He was a preacher of hellfire and had an unceasing quest for truth, which he taught and preached with all the fervor he could muster. That's the difference in Isaac and what he leaves behind and the other person who has their names in the People magazine and the Time magazine and all the big, under the big lights and the neon signs and so on. Let me die unknown in faith. Praise the Lord. Closing. How many of you have a will? Some of you have a will. The will that will dispose of our accumulated material possessions is not near so important as our distribution of godly influence throughout the years of our lives. A man's real legacy to his posterity is the influence of his character. I'm a little sentimental. I listened to a song, I Remember Daddy. See, my daddy's gone. But I remember Daddy. I remember his godly character, and it's been a legacy to me. It's been an influence, tremendous influence on my life. But in that song, I Remember Daddy, it didn't say, I'll never forget the car he bought me. I'll never forget the gifts he gave me. It says, I remember Daddy and the things that he taught me. Many of us remember Brother Joseph P. Ruiz, founding pastor of this church, and the godly character that he had. I remember Leonard W. Coote, a man who had a tremendous influence on me. I remember another friend of mine up in St. Paul. I remember my mother and her godly life, my dad, amen. And this is the kind of legacy that we should all be striving as Christians to leave behind for our children. And this is the work of years. So I want to say this. Some of us have failed and we think, oh my, we failed. My children saw my failure. They remember my failure. Well, it's not perfection, it's correction. It's not that you are perfect, but that you corrected your imperfections. That you continually were striving to go on. Amen. I remember my dad in the days when not everybody had cars. But he drove up here, I think it was Chippewa and 2nd Avenue, he turned a corner and a car was parked way up close to the corner and he hit it. Just touched it a little bit. My dad just went reverse, backed up, and we drove home. And his mind, his conscience bothered him. He said, son, you want to go with me? And I went with him. And we drove down there. And he went up, knocked on the door. And he said, do you have a light, flashlight or something? I'd like to go. I turned the corner here and I nicked your car. If I did any damage, I want to make it right. And I thought, oh, my. Not perfection, but correction. Have you made mistakes before your children? Apologize. Ask forgiveness. If you can, correct the mistake. And let them see your faith in action. Leave that legacy for them. Don't try to justify yourself. Let God justify you. Praise the Lord. So this legacy that we want to leave behind is not perfection, it's correction. And this legacy, according to Romans 2:7, is the product of patient continuance in well-doing. Isaac left many wonderful examples behind for his children to follow. And Isaac also corrected his mistakes. Did Isaac make a mistake? Is that in there? Yeah, I think he did. The Bible says, Isaac loved Esau. In other words, Isaac chose Esau, but God chose Jacob. You got a little conflict there.
Go get some medicine, son. I want to bless you.
But his wife, Rebecca, knew that God said, twins are in your womb. Heads of nations are in your womb. And the elder Esau shall serve the younger who came out of the womb with his hand on her heel. Remember? Trying to get ahead. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken medicine and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. That's why I said, I think I detect the pause there. I have blessed him. Perhaps Rebekah said to Isaac, you know what the Lord told me about these babies in my womb? The elder shall serve the younger. I don't have any proof for this. I'm just a thinker. So, honey, I like venison.
Drop it.
You know, lay off. I like venison. I love Esau. And I'm going to bless Esau. And then that episode, that thing that happened. And now Esau says, I blessed him. Yay. And he shall be blessed. I don't know if what I'm saying is right. And I go on record as saying I don't know if what I'm saying is right. But I just can't help but think of it. Can't help it. The elder shall serve the younger. That was God's decree. And the Bible says in Genesis 25:28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of this venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Husbands, don't discount everything your wife has to say. The pilot, don't discount everything your wife has to say. Christian, don't discount everything your wife has to say. They hear from the Lord too. Don't get confused now. I just wonder if after Isaac was deceived into believing Jacob was Esau and trembled very exceedingly, that the words of Rebekah didn't strike his mind. He paused and then he said, yea, and he shall be blessed. If it's true, let me be like Isaac. Can we stand? Let me be like Isaac and admit